Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Burks between the legs, dribble. Wants it, feels it, the jumper up and good. And folks, we have a tie ball game, a 97 timeout, Billy Donovan. And so the 21-point lead by the Bulls has evaporated, and we have ourselves a ball game here, folks. 6:10 left. Here's Levine, line to the lane, gives it up, Vooch open, left side three. Got it! Oh, my, Vooch! So now, over the 8-second line, wide right, Levine. Levine off a high screen from Vooch. Levine, stop and go, dribble drive on quickly. Left wing three ball, bam! Big time, Onions! Zach Levine with 26. Bulls nursing a lead. DeRozan on the right side. DeRozan to the rim, layup, got it! Timeout, New York. DeMar DeRozan with an open territory in the lane, Bill, and Tom Thibodeau is upset with his ball club. That was too easy for DeRozan, and the Bulls will gladly take it.
Absolutely. A little Euro step inside by DeRozan. Ball got tipped out of his hand slightly, but he never lost total control of it. So he's able to make it. But you're right, Tom Thibodeau not happy. That is unlike his team to leave the middle wide open for a drive.
Over the timeline, don't want to foul here. Quickly dribble drive all the way to the rim with an easy right-hand layup, and the ball game is over. Bulls win! Bulls win! Bulls win! Here at the Garden in New York, 119-150. What a ball game!
You got a guy who's I don't want to say seen it all. That's an exaggeration, but seen a lot. And so he can foresee some things that are happening, especially if something comes up that maybe we didn't see on tape and didn't plan for. You know, I think this defensive coordinator was actually with Andy in Cincinnati, so they know each other. They've known each other a long time, and he's played against them in the past since then. So there could be some things that pop up, you know, from them knowing each other. I think that experience over time, hopefully gets you to the point where you're not surprised.
Carlos Correa is going to cost you 10 years, 300 plus. Might be 10, 12 years, 350. They certainly can do it. I think they should. I think that's exactly the kind of guy. He's the youngest of those free agent shortstops that were on the market this year. I think they could do it. I think they should do it. I think that's the kind of guy you could build around. They don't have another shortstop coming in the system of like that you really think could be something special for a while, because they're low minors guys. They're A-ball guys. So I say go get him, because I think he can age well too. I mean, if he ages off a shortstop, he's got the kind of bat and the kind of presence. I mean, he could go play third base. Sure. He could play another position for you and still be productive late in his career if he stays healthy.
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We had a lot there. The WSCR, thanks to them for the Bulls highlights. What lovely people they are. Thank you, WSCR. And you heard Bill Lazor on the experience of Andy Dalton, as opposed to the Andy Dalton experience, which we may be seeing on Sunday.
Two very different things, though.
Two very different
things. Yeah.
And then that was Gordon Whitmire with us yesterday talking about Cubs and Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Bill Lazor Cup for a moment. It was an odd reference to Andy Dalton's experience with Vance Joseph in Cincinnati, Was that what he was trying to get to when Vance Joseph spent like two seasons as a Bengals defensive backs coach? So Andy Dalton's familiarity with Vance Joseph, who is now the Cardinals defensive coordinator, will help him somehow execute the game plan on Sunday?
Yeah.
Is that what he was trying to say? I want to understand it correctly.
But here's the thing.
You heard the same thing.
Bill is an interesting guy on those cuts.
Yeah.
Bill, the problem is he's not a guy who really talks in soundbite. So he will kind of layer a subject a little bit, and you almost have to hear the context in which he said something.
Right.
I mean, is he saying that Vance Joseph, you know, learned at the feet of the master in Cincinnati, and Andy faced that? And is that what he's saying, or is he? I don't want to criticize
Bill Lazor.
It's very difficult to pull that. One of his cuts out because he when you listen to him and you're looking for he said something really good. What was it? And then you go through the actual. It's like, oh, that's just about 30 seconds too
long. You have
long.
To invest more than just 30 seconds to hear exactly what his intentions are.
He doesn't talk in soundbite.
Yeah, well, I mean, context is important, and that's why I'm asking the question, because I don't know that I necessarily look at that as an advantage. I think Andy Dalton's overall experience in dealing with a variety of defensive looks and coaches, and that's why he's here, is because he, you know, has that experience, and you're not going to surprise him. But I think it just does, to me, underscores how good this Cardinal defense really is. We talk about Kyler Murray.
Yes.
We talk about DeAndre Hopkins. And certainly Cliff Kingsbury has the fancy offense. And that's the element that scares most people about the Cardinals. But when you look closer, they're fourth in defensive scoring.
Oh,
18 points a game. They're fourth in defensive, you know, against the pass with 204 yards. This is going to be a difficult challenge for Andy Dalton, no matter how well he might know the defensive coordinator.
I think what's really interesting is when you think about those statistics and you look at some of the yardage that teams usually put up when they are trailing. You know, the Cardinals have won some big games. I get it. You know, they haven't played the greatest schedule, but they have won some big games. Normally, when you're ahead in a game, what happens? The other team has to pass the ball in order to try to come back into the game. So sometimes when you have a good team that wins by a lot, they're giving up a lot of passing yards.
Right, right.
So what does it tell you where Arizona sits?
Well, it tells you that they're pretty good defending the pass, and also they're getting to the quarterback, I think.
Right.
That's the one thing that I think when you look at their ability to make the pocket collapse and to pressure quarterbacks. That's why the Bears' approach is not going to be anything novel or that terribly innovative. It's going to be very familiar. Get rid of the ball quickly. Try to establish the run, because if there is one area where you can attack the Cardinals' defense, it's yards per rush and yards per carry. And with David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert, perhaps, and this offensive line, which does you know, if they have a strength, it's running the football. They're going to try to do that, set up the play-action passing game, maybe have Andy Dalton catch the Cardinal defense in a wrong coverage, change the play at the line of scrimmage, and take advantage. We have seen that before. The Bears hope you'll see it again. But that is what we're going to probably see if the Bears are successful at all moving the football on Sunday.
When the Bears drafted Shea McClellan, I think we all knew that they needed a pass rusher. And so in all of our predictions as to who they would take, I remember putting down the name Chandler Jones. That's the guy who I thought was the best pass rusher coming out of the draft. And someone called me, a friend of mine, and said, "Hey, who told you they're taking Chandler Jones?" And I said, "Well, no. I mean, they're probably going to take Shea McClellan. I was just saying that they should take Chandler Jones, that he's the better player." And we got into this kind of philosophical argument about whether when you do your mock draft, you're supposed to just name the player that they are going to take or the player they should take, kind of. And we went back and forth about it. And I really did believe that Chandler Jones, you know, his older brother is John Jones, who is the, you know, champion UFC fighter. And I said it to my friend, you know, if you've gotten beaten up by an older brother your whole life, a guy like that, even if he's looking out for you, he's still beating the hell out of you. You got to get a little of that tough on you.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather that than chicken dinner roast.
I think you're probably right. That's going way back to 2012.
But that's
no, I know, but you're right.
That was a decision.
And Chandler Jones is still sacking quarterbacks. And Shea McClellan is coaching high school football, I believe.
Is he coaching high school football?
I think
football?
That's what he was doing last we checked. But
Where is he?
I think,
back where he's from?
I think maybe out in Idaho, perhaps. Okay. Is that where... We'll have to do some research at the break about where Shea McClellan is. But we know where Chandler Jones is going to be on Sunday, and that's going to be chasing Andy Dalton around.
Scary fella.
Dangerous and a man. Guy that could control Sunday's game very easily. And do you remember that draft? That's just how long ago that draft was. The number one overall pick in 2012 was Andrew Luck.
Wow, is that right?
You know, so that's how consistent and that's how durable Chandler Jones has been.
It's incredible.
And just to remind people, he went 21st.
Yeah.
Still on the board when the Bears picked 19th.
That's
Shea McClellan was that was Phil Emery's first draft
pick.
So that was his favorite mistake, maybe.
Well, I think
Sheryl Crow on you.
Can I just say that I thought that Phil, you know, I think Phil knows what talent is. I think that it was one of these cases where, and this is, it's very seductive for people, when you recognize sort of the same path that you've taken in your life, when you see someone who is not the expected or the guy that, you know, you thought was good, when you see someone that's been down all the dark alleys and the dirty roads and done it a different fashion, you can identify with them. I think that's why he hired Trestman. I think he got caught up in that kind of identification. And I think that's kind of why he wanted Shea McClellan over. I'm doing a bad dime store analysis.
I know why you would say that with Trestman. I think because their personalities were aligned in a way that was difficult to understand because they were quirky, they had shared interests, these kinds of things. You pick a coach for those reasons, I get it. When you draft the wrong guy, though, I don't know that it has to do with personality as much as it may have to do with what do you value most in an athlete? What do you value most in a football player? And these are the kinds of things that got in Phil Emery's way, frankly.
Yes.
Always wanted to be the smartest guy in the room.
Right.
And surprise people with his intellect, football-wise.
Yep. Right.
And you just tried too hard. Do simple better.
You projected harder than you had to because the other guy projected better. To some of us, but I don't
never
know.
Never had any, balance. Never I, had that balance.
That guy knows a lot more than I'll ever know. That's why they called him Doc, for God's sake. But I do think that you have this weird thing in your life where you identify with different people, and for some reason, you know, you wish them well or you want them. Do you remember who the coach was that they could have had, the guy they were going to take?
Bruce Arians.
And Bruce Arians is doing all right for himself, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a colossal mistake, too.
What would you do if you – I mean, and this is a total aside. What would you do if you were Bruce Arians and you found out that Antonio Brown had, you know, his personal chef had filled in the details on his vaccination?
Well, I think Bruce Arians is going to deal with that. He doesn't have to deal with it for three games, but I don't think I would be too pleased. And I think I would, you know –
cancer survivor, if I'm not mistaken, Bruce Arians?
Yeah, that's an easy decision, right?
It'd be an easy decision for me, but I mean, I think Tom kind of wants Antonio Brown back.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one because I think you're probably right, but oh boy. We'll talk about that at the pick six.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Back to the pass rushers on Sunday. Who do you think has a bigger impact? Speaking of veterans, now a year before Chandler Jones went to the Patriots instead of the Bears, Robert Quinn was drafted.
Yep.
Robert Quinn, the defensive player of the month as of yesterday.
That's right.
Who has a bigger impact on Sunday? Does it matter? Can Robert Quinn win this game, change this game for the Bears?
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think he's got enough help. I think it's a huge ask to have one guy be the dominant factor in a game when, you know, he's supposed to be one of four, and you might have – what? I mean, I guess Eddie Goldman's still there.
He's one of one, really.
Mario Edwards is
he's got to be one of one. He's got to be a game wrecker.
Gibson could help him on the other side. But
sure.
He has to be one of one, and I don't think that's going to be the case. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be very I'm most curious about seeing Kyler Murray in person, but also seeing how healthy he is and how agile he is. He's That's about his problem. Mobility. He's got a great arm. I'm not diminishing his ability to throw the football, but Kyler Murray is who he is because of his elusiveness.
We have seen Robert Quinn catch some guys and get some guys and do well against some guys that can move. This is a different level player.
It is.
And he's not going to be able to get those sacks.
It is in theory, but I do wonder that if Kyler Murray is at all compromised health-wise.
That's a good question.
And Robert Quinn is playing at such a high level with getting these sacks in bunches, is this the kind of game where you're going to need an extraordinary performance from someone? And Robert Quinn would be the guy I would be most likely to step forward and have an extraordinary performance.
All right, we've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Bulls celebrated Billy Donovan's Eastern Conference Coach of the Month Award by blitzing the Knicks early at Madison Square Garden after Thursday night's performance. Where's your confidence in the Bulls heading into Saturday's game in Brooklyn against perhaps the East's best team in the Nets?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I'm overconfident, to be quite honest about it, but I think that the Bulls put a beating on them in Chicago, and you heard Durant say afterwards they got a couple high-level scores. So I think they're not sneaking up on them this time. So if the Bulls win this game, they're going to have to really kind of earn it. But I think Vooch is playing significantly better. They figured out a way to get him involved. And I really like this team. I'm looking forward to that game. You know, you got a couple days in New York. I don't know how good that is for you. You know, they obviously went there and played in the Garden, and that's a wonderful place to play. I have not been to a game yet in that Brooklyn Arena, but I've been around there. I've been in that neighborhood. It's super cool that they've kind of rebuilt Brooklyn around that, and Brooklyn is a super cool kind of hip place these days, especially in that area. And, you know, here's hoping that the Bulls bring their A game. They're going to need it. That's going to be a really tough game. And, again, this is a team that they're not going to find unaware.
Said it before, but it's fun to repeat. When the Bulls play as well as they did in stretches last night, you start to think and wonder if anything's possible. In the Eastern Conference, when you look at the depth, certainly the Nets, it starts with them. The Bucks obviously can't rule them out, even though they have not gotten off to the greatest start. But the Bulls, with their depth and their coaching with Billy Donovan, the coach of the month, I think he's on his way to being coach of the year, as we have established, this is a team that has a lot of possibility. And so they go into Brooklyn, and they got Kevin Durant's attention. That's the one thing. The Nets are not going to be taking the Bulls lightly. There is a respect there now, and we saw last night why. They can close games out. They have two of the top three fourth-quarter scorers in the NBA, in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. They can hit clutch shots, and Vooch is back. Vooch looks like a guy that has come back from COVID and starting to feel stronger and also know his way in this offense and where he fits with the big three. And when the big three are clicking like they were last night, anything's possible. So it's going to be a fun game to watch. If the Bulls win and they beat the Nets after beating the Knicks and they have a New York sweep, wow, if you can do it there, you can do it anywhere.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
After another day of limited practice participation, as Andy Dalton took reps with the number one offense, what are the chances Justin Fields plays at all Sunday? Should Fields even be active if Dalton starts?
I'd not make him active. I would say he's on my inactive list. I think the temptation might be there to use him in packages if he's active, if he's your backup. And if he's your backup and you don't want to play him to avoid injury, and then you fall behind by two touchdowns and Andy Dalton, you know, gets injured for whatever reason, you don't want to put Justin Fields into mop up. So unless you're keeping three quarterbacks active, which isn't a good idea either against the best team in the NFC, err on the side of caution. It's a long season. It's his rookie year. You can't have him go out there with cracked ribs last week that you diagnosed that and think he's going to be fine. He's going to be in harm's way, and you want to keep him out of harm's way. So Dalton, your starter. Foles, your backup. Justin Fields, you're a tough guy, but don't rush back.
Well, I, you know, frankly, if Justin Fields is ready to play on Sunday, he should start. And if he's going to be listed as a backup, that means he's ready to play. So either you start him or he's inactive. Those are your two. That's it. I don't want to hear this idea. Oh, well, you know, he's going to be Andy's back. No, he's not. He is not Andy Dalton's backup anymore. He's the starting quarterback. If he can go, let him play. If he can't go, sit him out and don't have him active. It's as simple as that to me.
The pick six for Roquan Smith.
How many passing yards and touchdowns do you expect Kyler Murray to have Sunday against the Bears defense? If DeAndre Hopkins plays, assuming Jalen Johnson follows him around, will D-Hop have more than 100 yards receiving or fewer?
You know, I think that D-Hop, if he's ready to play, will have 100 yards, okay? Here's the problem. If you put Jalen Johnson on him, maybe you go in a different direction. But, you know, it's kind of Davante Adams. Let's say he has 85 yards then, if you want to get that technical about it. But other people will beat you. As far as Kyler Murray is concerned, I would think that he's probably a little bit rusty. He hasn't played in a while. So I'd say, just to be safe, I'll say 2 touchdowns. And I'll say 290 yards passing, just under 300.
Okay.
I think he'll complete, 75% of his passes. You know, he seems to be able to do that. He has a high completion rate. Maybe I should go 74. But, you know, roughly 75% of his passes, 290 yards, a couple touchdowns. I think that's that, and then he'll rush for some yards. But I don't think he needs this overwhelming performance for them to win.
I agree with that. I think it's pretty modest in terms of your expectations. Kyler Murray still in that offense is going to have a day. I think 275 and three touchdowns, 275 okay. yards. I think, though, DeAndre Hopkins won't necessarily be the focal point of the passing game because he doesn't have to be, and because he might be coming back slowly, more gradually, and he may be coming off his injury and want to work into the scheme in a way that doesn't make him the focal point. Zach Ertz is getting hot, and he needs to develop chemistry with Kyler Murray. Also, Rondale Moore, the Purdue product, he's a guy that you look at and you think, boy, you want one of those, don't you? You want a guy in your offense that is as dangerous as he can be. He was targeted 11 times, I think, his last time out. He's getting more comfortable in the NFL as a rookie, and I think that's going to be something the Bears are going to have a problem with stopping. So pick your poison if you're the Cardinals, but Kyler Murray will go 275, 3 touchdowns, and I think DeAndre Hopkins will have fewer than 100 receiving yards, but I think they're going to distribute the wealth more evenly.
Pick six.
What is your pick for Sunday's matchup against Arizona, and how much of it depends on the health of Cardinals weapons Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins? Do you think anyone, anywhere, will pick the Bears?
I don't know. Outside of Hallis Hall, is anybody picking the Bears in this one? We picked the exact same score, which is
fascinating. I picked it first, okay?
Yeah, you did.
On the air. I don't even know where that
you
is.
You said it first on the air, but yeah. I have the timestamp on my email that I sent to Cody yesterday.
I would never copy your score. And just so you know.
Are you reading my email secretly there? 27-17 Cardinals. I don't think the Bears are going to get into the 20s. Boy, it would be nice if they could. Boy, it would be nice to watch an offense that knows how to get into the end zone. We celebrate 16-point outings when they beat the worst team in the NFL, but I just can't see them getting into the 20s against the Cardinals defense that averages 18 points a game in terms of giving that up. 27-17 Cardinals, and I don't know anybody outside Hallis Hall that's picking the Bears.
Yeah, I don't even know anybody in Hallis Hall that is picking the Bears. If they're being realistic, George. Any given Sunday, that's what the Bears have going for them. 27-17. Yeah, if that actually is the score of the game, I think the both of us need to kind of retire. because I mean, I got no faith in the Bears scoring 20 points. How about that? Is that fair? Is that unfair? I can't help it. I just have a really hard time after watching what they did against that horrible Detroit team, thinking that just because they're back home and the fans are going to be totally on their sides because there's no chanting about the coach's job status. I think that was made clear earlier in the week, Eddie Jackson, right? So, yeah, that doesn't help. Knock it off. Oh, wait a minute. No, you paid for the ticket. You can do whatever the hell you want. Somebody has to tell someone. Yeah, I got 27-17. I just don't think the Bears have the defense for it.
A pick six of 100 yards.
What did you think of Tampa Bay's Antonio Brown getting suspended 3 games for violating NFL, NFLPA COVID-19 protocols? Backup safety Mike Edwards and free agent wide receiver John Franklin III were also hit with 3-game suspensions. How bizarre is this story? Does the punishment fit the crime?
This is the weirdest story in sports. This is just insane. He wouldn't pay his personal chef, so the guy revealed that he got vaccination cards for both the wide receiver and his girlfriend or fiance. I don't know what the relationship is. I don't follow his relationship status. I think he's in a relationship. Whatever the case might be, this is like a super duper bizarre thing to have done. It's just, it kind of reveals a bit of a dark heart, in my opinion. His coach, for God's sake, is immunocompromised as a cancer survivor. It's just weird. You don't want to wear a mask around the facility. Is that the idea? So I think that it's a bizarre story. I don't know why you'd want him back on your team, frankly, after 3 games, unless Tom insists upon it. The backup safety, I just don't get it. I would imagine Antonio Brown was affecting other people. That bothers me. And I know the buzzer hit, but I felt like I got some answers in earlier. I got a lot of thoughts on this. I think that when I look at this, it makes me wonder why Aaron Rodgers didn't get some sort of a COVID protocol violation suspension. Shouldn't they have suspended that guy for at least a game? I get it. He only lied to the media. He didn't lie to the team, and he didn't lie to the league. But apparently, he was not wearing a mask when he was in the press room with a bunch of people. I saw a photo of him hugging Kyler Murray, and he had no mask on. So he's not following. He didn't follow the protocols. Let's retroactively suspend Rodgers for next week.
Okay. I don't know if that's going to happen. But
I'm trying to help the Bears here. Pal.
Yeah, that would be great if he could do that in the timing. Aaron Rodgers didn't. What he did was wrong and could merit a suspension, but he didn't break the law. And what Antonio Brown is being alleged to have done breaks the law. It's a federal crime to have a false vaccination card and to create this sort of ruse and to have how elaborate it was. Just go down to Walgreens, get out of your car, go stand in line and get a shot. I mean, how hard is that to do? Why did he go to this degree to try to deceive the league because he didn't want to get vaccinated? That is insane on many different levels. But the least surprising headline of this NFL season is league suspends Antonio Brown. Everyone could have seen that coming. The Bucs get what they deserve. They should cut him. They should cut him because he's nothing but trouble. And this was something you could have predicted the minute he signed.
Pick six.
Did the description of Marcus Stroman as an oversensitive player by Mets play-by-play guy Wayne Randazzo, a former score guy, give you pause about any excitement over Stroman signing with the Cubs? Take a brief listen to what Randazzo said with Bernstein and Rahimi.
I think that there's an oversensitivity to Marcus Stroman. I think that there is a lot of baggage that he does bring and that he does hide, you know, behind the social media. There's a lot of thoughtfulness. He's calm. He's mindful. He's positive. But then there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of anger in some of the things that he tweets about. You know, he's had a bad relationship with the media, you know, in New York.
The Randazzler brought it. That was quite a segment. That was quite an interview. I'm not going to dismiss that. I did not realize the extent to which he has been accused might be a little strong, but of galvanizing this sort of his teammates in a way that is in response to criticism or rallying the truth. I don't know. I want to keep an open mind about Marcus Stroman. I think he's a fascinating individual. I think he's going to be good for this market, and I think it's an excellent signing for the Cubs because of what he can do on the mound. He does sound like a guy who reads and hears and responds a lot and interacts a lot. And you can already see from his social media feeds how active he is in responding to things. So something that bears watching. I'm curious how David Ross can handle this, but I would rather have him than not have him. It's going to be a tremendous social experiment.
Well, I got to be honest with you. As I tweeted earlier, who the hell is Wayne Randazzo to go after Marcus? See what I was doing there? Yeah, I was trying to be oversensitive.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was trying to react with my oversensitivity. I'll be very curious to see what Marcus Stroman is all about. It's a fresh start. Chicago is not New York. New York is a very tough media town, and there are going to be a lot of people that kind of go after you. I think it's easier with the Cubs. I think the crowd is on your side, obviously. And, I hope he's not oversensitive. I hope that he kind of gives everybody here a clear shot, and everyone will give him one. So I'm hopeful, to be honest with you. I'd like to have the guy. I think he's a good pitcher. And I think that, maybe it starts with the fact that he's short. How dare you?
Wow.
How dare you? He's just not the tallest guy in the world.
In his crosshairs already.
I
can't wait till he tweets at you.
I'm joking around.
At 7:15.
He's a lovely
fan. Weren't you surprised, though, that Randazzo was as critical as he was?
Wow. I mean, he brought it both barrels. And you know what? Knowing Wayne, he's telling the truth.
Right.
He's giving it to you exactly
as
he sees
it. This is a very even-keeled guy.
Yeah. It was really interesting to hear. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Felt the same as you watching him move around. I didn't know what it would look like, and I thought I felt pretty good what I saw, but none of us know how it feels. We've all had back, side, core injuries, and sometimes sneezing hurts. So, yeah. But no, I agree. He moved well.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Bill Lazor talking about the quarterback, about Justin Fields. It's too funny.
Sometimes sneezing hurts. You know what else hurts? Chandler Jones lowering his shoulder and running into you when you're trying to throw deep and you're exposed and bow.
What if Chandler Jones just blows pepper on you?
Yeah,
that could be
bless
debilitating.
You. Bless you.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's right, though. I mean, you don't have to play NFL quarterback to understand how compromised you feel when you injure your ribs. I can remember that just from last year. Remember, I fell off the ladder.
I was
walking around, and every time, no, I don't want to sneeze. Keep me away from the pepper. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine going into a football game under feeling like that. So Justin Fields, as tough as he is, I just don't know, Mully. He hasn't prepared as the starter, which also I think puts him up against it. He doesn't have those reps this week. So be asking a lot to me, in my mind, to have him start against this Cardinals defense, which is very good.
Yeah, I remember you came in gingerly, and I was cracking wise, and you were just, stop it.
I was.
Enough of your humor.
Yeah, you were. You were. You didn't
no,
have a lot
I
of sympathy.
Wasn't. I
yeah.
don't have. Are you kidding me? I have nothing but sympathy. I have sympathy, empathy. I've got all the symphony. I've got everything. I've got all those types of words for you. What? It's good to hear from Bill Lazor, and it's an interesting comment that he made about Justin Fields. It's good to see Justin Fields moving around, and I'll go back to my point. If he can play, he should start. If he can't play, he should not be on the call list.
Okay, but before we get to the calls, you say that, but to me, that almost ignores the fact that he hasn't practiced like a starter this week, and don't you think that's important for a rookie especially in terms of preparation. He's not been in a position to prepare as the starter, so how could he start?
Okay, now, with apologies to everyone, and I know this is going to get me in trouble, he has not played particularly well this year, okay? He's shown flashes, and he had a couple of games running where you thought he was ready for a breakthrough, but there have been times where you've looked at him and thought, I don't know.
That's honest and accurate.
So I'm just being honest about it, and that's just the reality. I hope that by the end of the year, we're like, oh, yeah, that's it. I hope that comes through. But I don't know that is the case. I worry about rookie quarterbacks retaining information just because I was told that's a difficult thing for them to do. So there isn't like some,
sure.
There's no stock offense for Justin Fields to run. We haven't reached that point. And I worry that if he's forced onto the field, I mean, listen, if you get to a point where Andy Dalton's not, if you want to start Justin Fields, God bless you. Even if he hasn't had all the reps and everything else, if he's had enough and he's seen enough of the game plan and he tells you he can go and he can run it, let's see what it looks like.
See, I think the opposite, because of what you said, is so true, and because we haven't seen maybe what people have wanted to see in terms of his development, I think you might risk him taking another half step backward against a very good defense
no
for
question.
A guy who hasn't prepared adequately all week. So things are going to be happening to really fast, a lot faster. And he's not going to have the physical ability at 100% to escape that rush, to make that play, to be special. And so if he's not in that position, you want to put him in the best position to succeed, not the worst. And I just wonder about this weekend, given his lack of preparation, if it makes sense for him to be active at all.
And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because I don't know how bad it is. I don't know if it's painful to sneeze or to laugh or anything like that. But I do think that, you know, you're going to be rolling him out next week at Green Bay in a hostile environment. I think that his demeanor seems to be able to handle that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe that you got to have him ready to go this week in order to play him next week or anything like that.
I agree. These are very separate equations,
yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
You're not like making a decision about Green Bay
no.
by whatever you decide to do against the Cardinals.
Right. But I mean, I don't want him in a backup quarterback role. I would rather him as the starter than the backup. But that's just me. And I hope the kid – I hope he's as good as we hope he can be, right? But I don't know what the answer
that's
is.
That's an entirely different conversation
totally
because
different.
I think that's unrelated to whether or not you
he
want to
play.
Use him on Sunday. I think
right.
Nick Foles should get ready because he would be your backup under the circumstances we just described. But and then again, they could surprise everybody and say, okay, they lean
yeah.
into his toughness and say he's the leader of this team and he wanted to be on the field and he was ready.
And I kind of like the idea of seeing, you know, him go against good quarterbacks. I got no problem.
I like the mentality of that. I like the football meatballness of that because it is like you want your quarterback to be tough. At the same time, you sometimes have to protect these guys from themselves.
Let's get to the phone lines. We got a lot of people want to check in. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Donald. Donald is on the west side. Hey, Donald.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to offer some perspective. Yeah, the Bears, man, from the beginning, they said that they were transitioning to an offensive team when they hired Hayes, yet
yep.
you put your best player and the leader of your team on defense. That's contradictory right there. So my thing is like, there's really no communication between Matt Nagy and the best player on his team. So if you were going to go defense, you should have just built on defense. Keep Amos. Don't do anything crazy offensively. Keep a strong run game because that's what we have now. We're 8th and 9th in the league, but our defense is horrible. So it's not complimentary football. And also, they put themselves in position when they're taking the best player, when they should have been drafting for needs. Of course, during the time, we like, okay, ooh, but now we see later on down the line, we should have been drafting for needs instead of best player available, and we should have been signing for needs instead of signing best player available because I love Khalil Mack, but as it's panning out, you know, he's just having a great career and we're having horrible seasons. All right, thank you.
Yep, thanks very much, Donald. That's good stuff. I don't know that I agree with the idea that they when they traded for Mack, it seemed like they were doubling down on defense.
It
and
did.
When you see the moves they made, you know, you decided that you couldn't pass rush with Leonard Floyd, so you're going to get Robert Quinn. That took a year to work out. I don't know how I feel about that going forward, though, with both these guys.
Donald's makes a really excellent point. I mean, the Bears are incompatible in the way that they're structured. They have a defense that is, you know, older and ready to win now, and an offense that's in development. And the most frustrating thing, if you're a Bears fan, is that you're starting to see now the 2022 draft projection and the order, and you see the Bears at number 7. But it's the Giants' pick.
That's right.
Through Chicago, because they've given that pick up already. And I think people would do it again for the chance to get Justin Fields in a franchise quarterback. But it also reminds you that when you have as many holes as the Bears do, you're not going to be able to fill them by going to the first round of next year's draft.
Rich is in Old Town. Hey, Rich.
I have a something I want to throw out there for you guys that I think is going to be interesting for your Chicago listeners. And that is a good college hire that was overlooked. And that's Billy Napier getting signed by Florida. And I have from very reliable sources, the reason they fired Dan Mullen and at the very end of the season was to land Napier. And his background is the kid's from Georgia. He played quarterback at Furman, Louisiana Lafayette, 32-5 since he's been coaching them. It's 100 miles away from Baton Rouge. And the reason they did this, and this is, I heard this from two good sources, was the LSU job was his for the asking. And he opted to go to Florida, and that's how LSU ended up by default getting Kelly. I think it says a little bit about getting a young hotshot guy. He was the head recruiter at Clemson in Alabama, his background experience as an assistant. And I think that's really interesting because now you got Kelly, me not have even gotten a job. Had Napier accepted the LSU job before taking the Florida job.
Interesting. Thanks, Rich. Yeah, it's interesting.
Good insight. Interesting background. I just think that if Billy Napier, he's got a good reputation in the industry.
Yeah.
And if he would have gotten in front of the LSU audience, I wonder if he would have had a Boston accent.
Let's get to Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, yeah, it's Biggs time.
It's Biggs time. We'll get the pick from him. It's Mully and Hahn, the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.